Praise the Lord. I would like to say the following in connection with the mention of the sister and the brother. This is Brother Kupfer's sister, and he told me on Sunday in Zurich that his sister is not well and that she will probably be admitted to hospital, and that we should remember her in our prayers, and we would like to do so with all our hearts. Sister Kupfer added that she cannot understand why believers have to go through such suffering. Sometimes it is really not easy to accept that believers and unbelievers have to go through the same physical hardships. We would probably have decided differently. We would have said, let us burden the unbelievers with everything and let the believers go free. But that is not in accordance with God's justice. As long as we are in this flesh, in which we have fallen, we have to endure the same thing. We grow just as old, just as weak, just as sick, just as suffering. And at the very end, when death comes for us, it finds a reason to take us away, just like all unbelievers. The difference is that there are two different destinations, and that is the huge difference. It is certainly a difference whether I go down or up, whether I am saved or not. But as far as earthly things are concerned, we all have the same fate. We all grow old. We all grow weaker. We all have the same sufferings, but we only notice this when we get older. When you are young, you shake your head and wonder why people get sick or have to go to the dentist. And then, as the days go by and the years become more complete, we all follow the same path from the first to the last. Nothing changes at all. And that is God's wonderful justice. Yes, our God is a faithful God. He must be just. It cannot be any other way. If God were to apply double standards, how could He judge? That is not possible. Perhaps I do have something to say today, so that people do not worry. It is the concern that something might happen to me again. You know, there are still people who have an uncircumcised tongue, and that will remain so until the end. Perhaps one must say, leave them alone. The Lord has commanded them. And it is also written in the Word of God, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord says, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There is absolutely nothing surprising about this. On the contrary, it is part of it. If people spoke well of us, something would be wrong with us. All the prophets were misunderstood, persecuted, stoned, and so on. It cannot and will not be any different for us if we walk in the footsteps in which they walked. And we have already heard and read in the opening word about the word of the prophets that we have received, 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. We are mindful of the words. God spoke through the mouths of His servants and prophets, and He then had His apostles, His messengers, whom He sent. Then the New Testament was written, and the two fit together perfectly. And so we are grateful to God that we may follow the Lord on the path of the apostles and prophets with all our hearts and all our souls. What particularly struck me here while reading is the thought in verse 5. It says here, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." God can, and indeed does, draw water in vast quantities from the sea and distribute it in clouds above us and then let it rain down. And we don't even hear it happening. We only notice when it rains that it's getting wet. But God is the Almighty God. He has set the laws of nature in divine order and paths through His Word, and they remain so. None of the clever scientists could explain to us how this happens, that God draws water at moonlight, not at sunshine, and then lets it come. But whatever the case may be, I rejoice in it. For God is exalted as Creator. He spoke, and it says here, by the word of God. In God's word is God's power, and God spoke, and it came to pass. It had to be so. And if we have the same word of God today, then what He said must come to pass. For here it is written, by the power of God's word. I believe the apostle expressed this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, with the words, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Scientists have their explanations, but believers have a foundation of faith. We know that something did not come into being through something, but that God called the world into existence out of nothing. The creative power of God was in the word He spoke. Let it be, and it was. Let there be, and there was. No word of God returned void. Everything He said came to pass. Who recognizes this? The believers. Those who do not believe cannot see it because they contradict God. They reject God. God does not fit into their concept. They have a creation without a creator, and that is not possible. First, we have the creator, and then we have creation, which bears witness to the majesty of the creator. But Paul already wrote in Romans 1 that they don't give glory to the creator, but have been darkened, and give glory to the creation, and in the end want to bring glory to themselves. We agree wholeheartedly with this statement. Through faith we know. Through faith, those who do not have faith do not know. They don't know God either. They don't know God's revelation. They don't know God's plan. They ask themselves why God did this or that. And we don't ask why. We are grateful to Him for what He has done. And when Brother Branham says that if nothing would have been lost, then God would never have been able to reveal His nature as Savior. He would never have been able to prove His love. It would not have been possible. Everything had to happen as it did. The unbelievers may ask why it had to be so, but we do not. We thank God that He has arranged everything, and we don't ask why. We only say, Lord, we thank You that You have saved us, that we may become Your property. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God did not already have something from which He could then make something that was already visible, but God spoke and it happened. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the light divide the darkness from light, and it happened. And He called the light day and the darkness night. Then God said, let the moon and the stars shine in the night, and it is still so today. He said, let the sun give light by day, and it is still so today. What He said happened. When He said, let the earth bring forth all kinds of trees and plants. Yes, one could watch it happen. God spoke and it happened. Think about the diversity across the earth. And God created the conditions for each zone, for the tropical regions, for Siberia, for everything, so that this can grow there and that can grow here. We don't grow grapefruit, and we don't need them either, but the potatoes grow all the better here. But go through the jungle. That's right. I was in India, for example, for 6 weeks, and we went to a place where there was no civilization, to the southernmost tip, to Cape Comorin, and we drank the juice from a tree. It's a palm tree, and you can tap it. And if you drink a glass in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, you are well nourished. You gain weight and suffer no deficiency. And the fruit is still up there. You can still pick it. God has provided for everything, even in the desert, everywhere. Now think about it. If we put the animals of the field into the water, they would all die. And if we took all living creatures out of the water and put them on land, everything would die. God created the conditions for them to live there and for the animals to live here. God has ordered everything. Yes, what has He not ordered? Everything. And who could improve it? Who? Has anyone come forward yet? Who could improve it? There is no one. God created everything perfectly. Anyone who has ever been to the aquarium in Eilat and walked down the stairs to see the sea life, can understand why it is written in Revelation, "Give glory to him who created the earth and all that is in it, and to him who created the sea and all that is in it." We sometimes think there are three fish, one is a carp and a trout. Come on. God created hundreds and hundreds of things, blue, red, green, yellow, and all kinds of colors. And anyone who sees that, they feel different. They could almost sing, "How great thou art." Then sings my soul, "My Savior God, to thee, how great thou art." And go to a botanical garden and look at the splendor of the flowers. What God has created is wonderful. And he didn't move his hands and say, "Now here." He spoke the word, and it came to be. I rejoice in that. And we will also live to see the day when the Lord will take up his power. Now he has given mankind a time to subdue the earth. Man was originally destined by God to rule over everything on earth and so on. But then he fell, and that was the calamity. But we know that the state originally intended by God will be restored, and then there will be no trace of all these things. Then we will truly be in the authority that Adam had before the fall, and will be equal to the Lord. We all know that. So I find the thought that everything came into being through the Word of God, I find it sublime, just wonderful. God spoke, and it happened. And we had to go on to say that it can only be recognized, seen, and confirmed through faith. Unbelief contradicts God on principle. There is no other way. But faith always proves God right. Without making any effort, we can thank God from the bottom of our hearts. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We know that it will pass away, and then a new earth and a new heaven will come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. One more word on this from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. This is about our Lord. Perhaps we can read verse 3. You can read before and after. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. He did not just speak the almighty word and bring things into existence. He sustains everything. He has determined these decrees. And everything is sustained by the power of the word spoken by God. When the Almighty speaks, it is an omnipotent word, and then it must be valid in heaven and on earth, for everything in every detail. We have noticed what else is written here about our Lord, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. This reminds us of what Brother Branham said. We would not have known what God looks like, who and what God is, if he had not revealed himself to us personally in Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this earlier while sitting at my desk. The most foolish doctrine that ever existed on earth is the doctrine of the Trinity. One God with three heads, or one God in three persons from eternity. How can three be one? People can't even count to three. But what is it? What did Brother Branham see, the three-cornered club, with which a woman was repeatedly struck, and he said that the woman represents the church. And then he came to it. His muscles became very large. You all know the story. You sisters who read, you can tell me anyway what else God has promised and will do. I'm talking to you here in front, you sisters, who have a lot of time to read. One day, I would really like to have a list like that from you. Sisters have their place too, make no mistake. I would really like to know what God has promised, what has already been fulfilled, and what is still to come. For example, I read a letter today about a man who tells the people in the congregation what they have and so on. Not names, of course, but whether they have stomach pains. And the brother writes, we were like in a meeting of Brother Branham. It was so wonderful. And I have also been to such meetings in Holland, in Breda, in London, and here and there. And I am convinced that this ministry was the sign of the Messiah. That's what Brother Branham said. And he also said that the first two signs would be imitated, but that the third, the last one, which God will do, he cannot tell anyone, and it will not be possible to imitate it. Now, of course, there are people who are trying to get someone else to pull the cart, so that there will be excitement in the congregation. But we ask ourselves whether this is correct. I can remember that the man was from Lebanon, a very well-known evangelist, and he had also heard Brother Branham, and I got to know him, preached in his church in Beirut, Lebanon, and then he came to Holland later. I'm not criticizing, I'm just asking you. In any case, after the sermon, he suddenly said, now the Spirit of God will speak through me, and the Lord will reveal everything what's going on here. I can remember one case in particular, where he said, there is a married couple sitting here who are very distressed because their son has left home and they have not heard from him since then. And he dramatized the matter. And I sat close to the edge of my chair, waiting for the good man to say, I now ask the couple to come forward. But that didn't happen. I waited in vain. And then he said, now there's someone with stomach pains, an elderly lady. I thought to myself, not with me. If it's a scam, then without me, not with me. I can come here, and if there are about 1,000 people in a meeting, I can say this and that to the people. Everyone is amazed, and I'm the celebrated man, and people say, oh, what a blessing, the Lord has spoken. The Lord did not speak. Swindlers and imitators stood on the platform and nothing else. Now you will say, Brother Frank, do you have the right to judge that? Listen to Brother Branham's sermons, and you will find that he did not compare the sign of the Messiah with healings, not with signs and wonders, not even with the revelation of the Word or the opening of the seven seals, but what did the angel say to him? You will be given the sign of the Messiah, that the thoughts of the hearts will be revealed to you. And I have already said it here. The angel quoted John chapter 1 verbatim to Brother Branham and taught him that the same is now being repeated in his ministry as it was then in the ministry of Jesus towards the Jews and the Samaritans, but not toward the Gentiles, and that now the end of the time of the Gentiles is here, and that now the same sign of the Messiah is being revealed as the last sign to the church. The angel also referred him to John 4 and explained to him that this is the sign by which the spirits will be separated. Some say it is from God, others say it is from the devil, and so on. But the angel gave him this biblical teaching. Now someone will ask, is that really true? I can show you that when an angel makes an announcement, whether it be Gabriel or whoever it is, he knows his way around in the kingdom of God. Don't worry. He also knows the Holy Scriptures. I will read to you what Gabriel said to John at that time. In Luke chapter 1, verse 15, referring to John, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Do you notice how the angel who gave the announcement directly described the ministry that John was to carry out? I am not at all surprised that a biblical foundation for the biblical ministry, an instruction was given here before the ministry began. And what did Brother Branham say? He said, "They will not believe me." And then came the answer, "Two signs will be given to you, as to the prophet Moses. The first sign with the hand, that the sickness of the patient will appear on your hand, and the patient will see it. And when it disappears from your hand, the patient will know that he has been healed." Then the angel said, "If you are faithful and remain humble, another sign will be given to you, namely that the thoughts of the hearts will be revealed to you," and so forth. And it was precisely this sign that Brother Branham explained as the sign of the Messiah. And neither Paul nor Peter had it. And I do not expect it. I cannot expect it, because God has no need of imitators. God only needs original people with an original calling, with a continuation of the ministry that He has given to the church. An imitator is not the original. But Brother Branham said it, and the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, whoever it was, rebuked him for speaking about these things. And then people found themselves who imitated him. No, we believe with all our hearts that we have received the last sign from the Lord. And we have received the last message. Both are complete. We only have to wait for the complete restoration of everything that God originally placed in the church. and we are convinced that God will give it. I don't think I should start doing something here, and I don't think anyone else should either. Rather, I believe that the ministry, the fivefold ministry, has received sufficient material through the revelation of the Word, so that we can each perform the ministry that God has assigned to us. And with great joy and inner certainty, we publish Brother Branham's sermons, distribute the food, and proclaim the word of the Lord until He comes, until He returns. I hope you did not take this as a direct rebuke of other brothers. I would like to speak with a man whom I actually respect, although I have never seen him personally, only heard about him. And I would also like to attend such a meeting. We do not want anything genuine to be discredited in any way. We do not want that. Only, as emphasized, an imitation of the ministry, the very special ministry, and I repeat myself here, the special ministry did not refer to signs and wonders, not to healings and all those things. The special ministry, as you saw in the film, was when Brother Branham stood there helplessly and said, "I can't do anything. I'm as helpless as you are." And then he was there. He said, "No one can hide. Now God has everything under control." And he spoke it out. And that is what we have experienced in these days. And we are very grateful to God for it. You know, this is what divided the spirits in the days of Jesus. Some said he has Beelzebub, and others said no man ever spoke like this man. And others said he is surely a prophet, for nothing like this has ever happened since the beginning of the world, that someone opened the eyes of a man born blind. But it happened. Great signs and wonders happened. But the suspicion was not about signs and wonders. There was also criticism, but not suspicion of being in league with Beelzebub. For the Lord knew and saw through their thoughts. He told them plainly, "This and that is what you are thinking in your hearts." And they couldn't bear it. They could not bear it. The Lord could say to Peter, "You are Peter," or "Simon, your name shall be Peter," and so on. "Your father's name is Jonah." He knew all this. And the scribes thought, imagine, he doesn't even know the man. And the Lord says to Nathanael, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And the scribe said, "Oh my goodness, what is this now?" Those were the points. To the woman at the well he said, "Go and fetch your husband." She says, "I have no husband." "You have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." She says, "We know that when Messiah comes, he will tell us everything. Who are you?" He says, "I am he who speaks to you." End of story. No more questions. The bucket remained, and she ran into the city and said, "Come and see whom I have found. Isn't this the Messiah?" That was the sign of the Messiah. And you heard that in almost every sermon when Brother Branham began a healing service or this manifestation of the gift or the special ministry. And I must admit, I sometimes thought you could have saved yourself the trouble, because when you translate many sermons, the same introduction always comes up, the same thing over and over again. Why? He preached in different places. He had to establish the biblical foundation each time so that people knew they were not dealing with a man who was guessing, who was sometimes right and sometimes wrong. No, that was not the case. It was a ministry of which Brother Branham could say, if a man can stand on the earth and say that what was told him is not true, then I am a false prophet. What was it all about? It was really about this infallible ministry of Jesus Christ as a sign of the Messiah in the church, on which people had to base their decision. That is the point where they all failed. That was the point they could not understand. And others, of course, thought, well, let's try that too. Let's try that too. Yes, and they are doing it. We will not try it. We know what God promised, that he would send a prophet. But he also said that just as Jannes and Jambres arose and did the same, so people would arise in the last days. But the question is, where does what belong? We have set ourselves the task given to us by God to proclaim nothing but the Bible and to practice nothing but divine practice. Everything must be according to Scripture. And we are grateful that he has helped us to this day. How often do you think impatience would like to get hold of me? And it's not just you. Sometimes I feel very bad, but it is better to wait, to keep quiet until God does something. And then we will still have enough time to move forward with the Lord. Then it's no guesswork. I once translated someone, and he mentioned a case in the meeting, and I happened to be the translator. And he spoke of a man who was supposed to have something. A man did not come forward, but a woman did. And then he said, it could also be a woman. And then, of course, I was completely flabbergasted. I have already experienced some things personally and thought my part about them. But I don't want to do what I did today again and be so critical. On the contrary, we want to leave everything to the Lord, and he will do what is right. He only allows what is for the good. Sometimes we don't understand it, but it just belongs to it. We can't place it. He already placed it and says, it is just part of God's great plan for these last days. Who longs for God to do something really in our midst, also through us? It is high time. Who is ready to love one another and really make sure that there is nothing left that could stand between us and the Lord, that everyone could simply meet everyone freely and openly, and that love would be real, faith would be real, that everything would be real, that we would have a face from behind and from the front, that we would say to everyone to their face, even behind their back, that everything would be done with sincerity. And when we don't want to say something, we would do well to keep our mouths shut. Brother Branham also said, there is enough good to say about every person that can be emphasized. There is no need to emphasize the few bad things. And if we are honest and take a look at the good qualities we find in our brothers and sisters, well, goodness gracious, we could talk about them for hours. And if we struggle to find something that could be criticized, we would need hours to find something, and that time is wasted. So let's not do that, but use our time wisely. see the good in everyone and talk about it. And I've said it somewhere before, if someone is desperate to find something bad, they should look in the mirror. There they find probably the most, without having to look very hard, for they know where it is. In others they have to search for it. In themselves they already know. That saves them the time for searching, right? That's how it is. I'm not saying this as a joke. I say this with all sincerity. Please take it with humor, but also take it seriously. Let's really stop doing anything that could cause harm. And remember that we are members of one body, that we have been joined together, that we belong together, knowing that when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. If you don't feel it, something is wrong. If someone is suffering and you are not suffering with them, something is wrong. You must suffer with them. When I hit this fingernail, I feel it in my big toe. That used to happen sometimes. First, I lifted my right foot because I thought that's where it hurt. A limb is connected to the whole body, and you feel it everywhere. When one member of Jesus' body is hurt, every member in the body feels it, and all suffer with it. They perish with it. When one member is honored, everyone rejoices. Then they all rejoice. That is a wonderful thing. No envy, no jealousy, nothing. Heavenly joy over what God is doing in us. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and worship. I too thank you with all my heart for the great privilege that we will never comprehend, never understand, that we may sit at your feet, O Lord, as your disciples, as your students, not as know-it-alls, but as people who want to learn and desire to learn. You sent the teacher, the Holy Spirit. He took the word of power, and revealed it to us, anointed us, opened our eyes and our hearts, so that we may see and hear and believe. Beloved Lord, we have also understood the sign of the Messiah. You gave it to make the decision among your people. It is a sign that was contradicted. For some, it was for their uplifting, for others, for their downfall. What can we do about it? For us, it was a blessing. Hallelujah. A great blessing. For otherwise, we would only have known that there were many evangelists. But now we know that there was a man sent by God, a man of God, a promised prophet, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the children of God to the word of the apostolic fathers and to prepare a people for the Lord and to reveal all mysteries, to abolish all traditions, to declare them invalid and to bring the revealed word as final and binding. Faithful God, in this context, I ask you for the last thing, for that which causes the greatest difficulties. I ask you to reveal to your whole church that our brothers who were forced to remarry are never considered divorced before you. That the name divorced does not exist at all in your word, does not appear at all. We pray to you, O God, together, that you will also take away this stain, this shame, and give us complete clarity that we no longer measure with two standards and no longer pass judgment, but thank God that we have been spared. Lord, help us in all things. We take off our shoes because we know that you have spoken, and we will not allow people to talk down what you have revealed and spoken in holiness. All people shall be silent, and you shall have the last word. Lord, bless us all. We also thank you for the testimonies, especially for what Brother Schmidt said here, how overwhelmed he is to hear and witness how those who were once here and heard your word were able to accept it without burden and then received the blessing. May it be so with us too, O Lord. Grant us grace that every burden may be taken from us, that we may hear your word, believe it, and experience what you have promised in it. Faithful God, we commend ourselves to your grace. We also pray for Sister Kaufmann, O Lord. May you touch her. Faithful God, you also see the faithfulness of our brother and sister Kupfer. Lord, you know the ways they travel. They spare no expense. They do not count the time. They are always here and there, O God. Lord, this dear Sister Kaufmann, who has such a heart condition, who has trouble breathing, O Lord, you are the one who breathed the breath of life into man. You can make the heart function fully and the lungs work again as they should and as is fitting. You who created man, can you not repair him? Can you not heal him? Can you not replace a part? You can, Lord, and we ask you to touch her and heal her through your power for the honor and praise of your name. Beloved Lord, we also bring all other prayer requests to you, O God, and ask you to be with us this weekend. O Lord, we depend on you. You know how I sometimes think and feel in my misery and no longer want to preach, O Lord. Forgive me for every quarrel. Let me see soon that you have returned to Zion, that your church has once again become your temple where you dwell and rule and reign. Bless my beloved brothers. Bless Brother Rus. Bless all the brothers who have tasks here in the church, O Lord. Bless us all from the riches of your grace and give us faithful hearts, namely the faith that you will do as you have said. Let it be done to us according to your word. Hallelujah. Praise and honor to your holy name. Amen.